Welcome to Identity Church Sunday morning message, where sonship is revealed. Stay tuned at the end of this message to receive more information about resources available through Identity Church. Now grab your Bible, sit back, and enjoy a message from Identity Church that is already in progress.
You know, now, Nelson, you know what you're supposed to do. He was supposed to make me look skinny. Okay, so, but, Mike, you spoiled my whole entry. Did you know that? I was going to tell him that I wasn't Charlie Coker. I didn't know if they knew that, but I have better hair. Sorry, Charlie. But I have to say hello to my friends in Iowa and Arkansas and in Lincoln and Kansas. So hi, guys. I told them I'd say hey to them. So let's start with the prayer. I think we've had prayer, though. How about you? The worship was just so amazing. So Father God, we just come to you once again. Once again, Lord. And we're asking for your mighty hand to touch us. God, you know what each of us have need of. And we're just putting a demand on that this morning. And we're just asking that you fill us up, Lord. From the top of our heads, clear down to the tips of our toes. Fill us up. Make us whole. Heal everything that's in between us, Lord God. From the toe to the head. And fill us up, God. Holy Spirit, we welcome you here. I sent your presence. I've been here all day long by the prayers that people have given me, personal words and prayers, and to the worship, and on the faces of your people. We just bless you, Lord. We come here to bless you. It's not about us. It's about blessing you, Father, this morning. So we thank you in Jesus Christ's name. And everyone says, you know, if you knew me, you would know that I have such a crooked sense of humor. Mike saw some of it, but, and my tutu friends over here, I thought, well, you know, nobody knows really how I preach, so I could come out, you know, like some of those old-fashioned preachers, you know, the hell and brimstone ones are the ones that are walking across the floor, you know, stomping their feet and stuff and saying, hallelujah, you know. And we may do that, but that's really not quite where I'm at this morning. Billy, good, good, good. She may be my hallelujah girl. All right, all right, all right. I have two friends here. Now I have a hallelujah. Do I have an amen group? Oh, pray to Jesus. Okay, now we got to get serious. No, we don't have to get serious, but I want to share with you a word that was it's a personal word that God had given me. And it was revelation, it was healing, it was the whole gamut of everything. But I knew that it wasn't just for me to keep. It wasn't just mine, in other words. That the body needed it as well. Now, I don't know your story, your history, but God does, amen? Okay, thank you. And he wants to impart something in you like he did me. And so when I tell you my story, I hope you'll maybe see yourself in some of it anyway. On February the 27th, I'm not looking skinny. I woke myself up. Okay, don't look. Okay, well, I have to look at some of it. Okay. Oh, okay. Oh, see? All right. Now, wait. This has got to get serious a little bit. All right, now. I woke myself up, and I was saying, 3-9-4-5, 3-9-4-5, digging up deep, deep wells, going to dance in the water. 3-9-4-5, 3-9-4-5, digging up deep, deep wells, going to dance in the water. Now, that was a good word in itself, but it didn't mean anything just then. But I knew that that was not me. I mean, I was verbally saying it as I woke up. And so, and this was, like I said, it was February the 27th. It's important that you know that date. Okay, so where do you go when you get something and you know it's from the Lord? You go to the Bible, right? And you search it out. Well, I looked at my Bible, and out of all 66 chapters, there are only 7 books in the entire Bible that have 39 chapters, none of them being in the New Testament. All of them were the Old Testament. Now, I didn't know that, but now you know. Okay, and 7, you know, I've studied the word a little bit. I know that 7 is completion, perfection, right? That's a number we associate with Jesus. So it was just kind of confirmation. Well, you're on the right track, Diana. So I began looking, and the first book. Now, when I give these to you, Diane, you're up there, right? All right. Now, when I give them to you, they're not quite in the order that that they're found in the Bible. But this is the way that I looked them up, so I'm giving them to you the way I looked them up. And I started with Genesis, knowing that was the beginning, right? So, Diane, if you will turn or put on your screen there, Genesis 39, 4 and 5. Remember, 3, 9, 4, 5. Got that? Don't forget that. Well, maybe I may want you to forget it pretty soon, but okay. If you look at your screen, it says, so Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him, and he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had from Now, you know the story. You know that this was talking of Joseph. His father was Jacob. I mean, I'm not doing with some dealing with, you know, some beginners here. So you know the story. But you see where it said that from the beginning, God had a plan for Joseph. We know that. We know in his story that Joseph's brothers were jealous of him. And we know that they took Joseph and they sold him into captivity, right? Okay. Now, we also know that when Joseph was, he was 17 years old, he was sold as a slave. Now, you have to remember, I'm applying this to me, all right? And I want you to apply it to you. So I'm knowing the story, it's Joseph. He was 17, his father was Jacob, his mother was Rachel. And it says that he worked, he was put in charge, he was overseer of his house, because you see, Joseph worked diligently for his master. So his house, the master's house, Potiphar's house, was blessed, right? And Joseph was blessed. Now, I always thought that Joseph was a spoiled kid, you know, that he didn't do anything. But you see, Joseph had two dreams. One, he and his brothers were out in the field, and they were binding up the sheaves, and his sheaves stood up, and the other sheaves, which represent his brothers, came around him, bowed down to him. Well, when he told that to his brothers, they didn't like him anymore. So then he told them another dream. Well, I had another dream. The sun and the moon and the 11 stars all bowed down to him. And they really didn't like him then. So that's whenever they decided, well, we got to get rid of this brat. So that's when they sold him into slavery. And like I said, he did not wait for a better situation to be promoted. And that's a word in itself. You know, sometimes where we're at, we think, well, you know, I really should have their job because I know a little bit better, or I know more than they do. But that isn't how Joseph was. So something that Jacob deposited in him must have taken hold, because he was a good, hard worker. Well, just like Jacob, God had asked Moses at one time, he said, Moses, what do you have in your hand? And Moses looked down and he said, I had a rod. And God said, no, Moses, you had a miracle. You see, Joseph had a miracle, and I don't know if he knew it for sure, but he trusted God enough for his miracle. At 17, he was given to Potiphar. That was his overseer, or his master then. But at 30, after he'd already spent a few years in prison, at 30, he was given to the Pharaoh, and Pharaoh was the king. And he was put second in charge. Now look at this. I mean, you guys, that's how the steadfastness of us, you know, when we work as unto the Lord, that's how important that is. You don't have to have the senior job. You can work diligently at the junior job and still succeed, right? Well, okay, it was nine years after that. So now Joseph is 39 years old. You got my numbers? Joseph was 39 years old. And when he was 39 years old, he began to see his promise of those dreams fulfilled. Because you see, his brothers came because there was a famine in the land. And so they come and ask for food, for grain. That's 39 years to see his promise fulfilled. I just want you to get that. The name of my, and I'm sorry, I talk with my hands, because if I put them back here, nothing would come out my mouth. So anyway, he was 39, and my title of here of my message, and it was really clear because God gave it to him. He says, you can't escape the promises of God. We cannot escape the promises of God. All right, now the next book that I looked up, Diane, is Psalms. Psalms 39, verse 4 and 5. It'll be really easy for you to look at this, Tad. It says, O Lord, make me know my end and what is the measure of my days. Let me know how fleeting I am. Behold, you have made my days a few handbreadths, and my lifetime is as nothing before you. Surely all mankind stands as a mere that says breath, but my version says hand breath again. Doesn't matter. And I said, okay, now Lord, now I've got to apply this to me. What are you saying to me? And what I heard him say was kind of like that song that Casting Crowns sing, Who Am I? And it says, just the chorus, it says, and Stephanie's not here, we'd have her sing, I'm a flower quickly fading here today and gone tomorrow, a wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling, Lord. You catch me when I'm falling. You told me who I am. I'm yours. Amen? Well, what this spoke to me was being 70 did not, now I'm telling everybody, being 70 did not disqualify me for what God wanted me to do. Amen? Amen? Thank you. Thank you. There they go. All right. Now, it took Jesus 3 years to save a whole nation, right? And, okay, Noah, did you know, now this I got to tell you, I had to look this one up. Did you know that Noah was 500 years old before he started building the ark? And did you know he was 502 whenever Shem. Did you know he was 502 when he was born? I didn't know it. Better I do now. All right, but anyhow, okay. So, and Esther, our little Rachel's gone. She was only around 13 whenever she was betrothed. And Queen Esther was around the same age, 13, 14. Well, I learned this morning that Susan was 51 years old whenever she started going to college. Did you know that Joyce Myers was 48 when she was ordained? Billy Graham was 30 when he started, but 99 when he died. You know, I don't know how old any of you are, and neither do I care, but what I really want you to understand is you're never too young. You're never too old. If you're breathing, I used to tell this to the nursing home, if you're still breathing, then God has a plan. And if you've gotten a promise from God, then hang on. Yes and amen. Okay, now we're going to go to Exodus. I'm slowing this down. Exodus again, 39, 4 and 5. Is it up there? That's Psalms. Hey, Charlie. He said he's going to be watching. Okay, Exodus. All right. They made for the ephod. And did you get that, the ephod?
Yeah.
Okay. They made for the ephod attaching shoulder pieces joined to it at its two edges and the skillfully woven band. Remember, I can see better here. Yeah, I can see better here. Well, I'm sorry about that. Okay. And the skillfully woven band on it was one piece. And with it, and made like it, of gold, blue, and purple, and scarlet yarns, and fine twisted linen, as the Lord had commanded Moses. You got that? Is that not pretty cool? Okay. You know who it's talking about? It's talking about Aaron. And the priests. Now, you got to personalize this word. Remember, God gave me that 3, 9, 4, 5 for a purpose. What he was saying is, I'm making you priests, a high priest. I'm robing you. I'm giving you the promises that I had promised you a long time ago, even before my name was, well, I knew my name anyway. God knew that. And I'm making you kings and priests, right? Doesn't scripture tell you that? It does. Do you know what that ephod and all of it stands for? It stands for revelation of truth. It stands for light and perfection. 1 Peter 2:9, and you don't have to go with it, I wrote it. It says, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, that you may proclaim the praises of God who called you out of the darkness and into the marvelous light. I have a dual purpose this morning of sharing my testimony, and we'll get into that a little farther. But one of the things that I really, really, I said, God, you know what? And this is really kind of funny, but I got to tell you. You know, when Charlie called me Sunday and asked me if I would do that, you know, God talks to that man. Did you know that? And I know that he told him that I had this and that I was just kind of sitting on it. But I did not tell Charlie anything. But anyway, I'll go back to where I'm at here. All right, so I know he is. Hey, Charlie. Okay, we got to get back to the ephod because, okay, my purpose of telling you this is the promises that you were given, the seeds that you've planted, don't give up on them. Don't just quit. You know, even if you don't see things, you know, I have family members that are not where I want them to be. But I can't just stop and give up on them because God has called us priests, because he's called us kings, and they don't quit. You know, they don't quit until you throw them out of office. So until somebody dethroned you, don't give up. Amen? 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 Oh, no, you're my hallelujah girl. Okay. Yeah, see, there you go. All right. The waistband. Now, it talked about the waistband, and that I thought, Lord, I'm not sure. I'm not really kind of getting that. But that waistband kind of held everything in position, and it was twisted. They put this blue and purple and yarn, but they twist it. Twisting actually represents adversity. And whenever somebody is pushing against you, that adversity just causes you to get stronger. You know, the guys that are really pumped, you know, they use the pressure. Well, sometimes when you're using the pressure, it just causes you to get stronger in your walk. And that's not to give up, but to keep on going. Just get stronger where you're at, you know. Stand on what you're supposed to do. There are, and I wrote this down, it was kind of good. Adversity causes some men to break, but others men to break records. And that's what I want to do. I want to break records. How about you? Amen? Oh, good. Hallelujah. Okay. All right. Now we're ready to go to Isaiah. Oh, yes. Oh, I'm going to turn over here, guys. Whoops. Done to me. Diane.
That's it.
Is it? Oh, yeah. Sorry, Diane. He said, what have they seen? Now, you guys got to get this one. What have they seen in your house? Hezekiah answered, they have seen all that is in my house. There is nothing in my storehouse that I did not show them. Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord of hosts. You know, now we're getting serious here, guys. I got to make sure I hide that page because I don't want to go back to that one. You're going to hear the sermon again. Okay, now, it doesn't sound bad just to read the 4 and 5, does it? But you have to know that Hezekiah, he was showing off. All of his fortune had gone to his head. And so what he did was he brought them in and he was showing him everything, all of his riches. And that was not what he was supposed to do because Isaiah had already warned him not to do that. But, you know, some people just don't take no for an answer, right? Okay, and he says, what have they seen in your house? And he said, well, they've seen everything. All right, now here's where the rubber gets, whatever that is, the road. Okay, yeah, that's it. Okay, now, I prayed a prayer, which really I pray a lot of it. I mean, I pray it off this often, but I guess God must have really taken me at my word at this. But it was the Psalms 51 prayer where you say, you know, create in me clean hands and pure hearts and renew a right spirit within me, you know, God. And I said, God, you know, just dig up all of the, if there's anything in me that's hidden, I want to know how many have prayed that prayer. Well, I'm just telling you, you better watch it. Okay, I prayed that and I was serious. I thought I was serious all the time, but apparently God really got serious. But when I got serious with that, like Hezekiah said, what have they seen? Well, the enemy has seen everything in your house. You know that, don't you? But you know what? God's seen it too, right? All right. And a quote from Charlie. He said, the Lord is not afraid to offend you or to expose you. But in my case, he wasn't afraid. Did I read that right? Yes. The Lord is not afraid to offend you in order to expose you. There you go. But in my case, it was to heal my heart. My shame and my guilt that I had carried was exposed publicly. Everything that I had hidden, or I thought was hidden, was exposed. And the only person that knew of my hidden shame was an aunt. And my aunt had dementia, and she'd forgotten it when she was asked. But when the morning that Pastor Charlie had preached, and I didn't really have time to go back and listen to it in entirety, but the morning that he preached to us that Jesus Christ bore our shame and our guilt and our public humiliation, when he hung on the cross, balls and all, I was sitting right there where I usually sit, and it was just like a knife had just shot me. I mean, literally just shot me. I didn't hear anything else. The rest, now I know that Susie wasn't happy about that statement. At least he told me that. And I just repeated it. Woo-hoo. Okay, guys, you got to stay with me here. my amen corners and my hallelujahs. Okay. Okay. Now, after the sermon, I came up to Charlie and I said, Pastor Charlie, I said, we got to talk. So he called me later on that evening, I think, and I told him that that 50 years ago, what I had done, and that I had given birth to a child, and I'd given him up for adoption at birth, and that that my secret was exposed, that my son had called me and asked me if this were true. Now, when he did, now, I got to tell you that half of, and I've got a great big huge family, half of my family knew it before I knew it was out. All right. And to tell you how humiliated I was before that doesn't even come close. I mean, it was whatever. But whenever Pastor Charlie said that Jesus, I had never thought about that. When he hung on that cross, he took everything. Everything, everything that I had ever done. Yes. Amen. You can't do that, Ken Jones. When Hezekiah said, "Hear the word of the Lord of hosts," he was saying, this cleansing is from the Lord. This was from the Lord. It was Satan wasn't bringing this, digging this all up. It was God that had dug this up for me, to heal me. Thank you. Amen. Yay! 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 Yay. There. Okay. Okay. So. Yeah. Don't get mixed up. I want you to turn to Jeremiah 39:4-5. Remember, I'm digging these up. 39:45s. Okay. When Zedekiah, king of Judah, and all the soldiers saw them, they fled, going out of the city at night by way of the king's garden, through the gate between the two walls, and they went toward the, thank you for making that bigger, Araba, but the army of Chaldeans pursued them and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho. And when they had taken him, they brought him up to the Nebuchadnezzar, king of Judah, Babylon, at Riblah in the land of Hamath, and he passed sentence on him. Amen. Now, you can't escape the promises of God. I want to tell you the story of Jeremiah. He is king. Hezekiah. Jeremiah had warned him, had said, now listen, if you turn yourself in to Hezekiah, you'll live, your family will live, your land will be saved. But you see, I should have put a footnote to the title that you can't escape the promises of God, because if you don't listen to God, then you're not going to get the promises of God. Amen? Amen? Okay. All right. There you go. But if you follow God's plans, he'll always, always give you what he's promised. Always. All right. But he didn't. And okay, now the bad thing about it is, I got another quote from Charlie. Okay, I'm going to say it. If you can't talk about your past, you're probably still connected to it, or it still influences you, right? Well, that's true, but I got ahead of myself, so forget I just said that. Okay, because we want to finish this. When Hezekiah went out there and he snuck out the back door. Do you understand? Out the garden is in the back of the palace. He went out the back door and he ran, and he probably took some of his family with him, I suppose. But when he was caught, right back around, when he was caught, then Nebuchadnezzar killed all of his family in front of him, put his eyes out, and burned his land. I don't want that to happen to me. I don't want that to happen to you. But you see, when I confessed and owned up to my past, I allowed my family to heal. I allowed me to heal. I allowed others to heal. And we allow those that are watching us heal. Amen. There, thank you. Okay. In 38, Jeremiah, when he could have surrendered and he didn't, he lost his promise. He lost his promise, and I don't want any of us to lose our promises. Yeah. Maybe he got tired. Maybe he just gave up, you suppose? I don't know what it was, but whatever it was, we don't want to do it. That much I know. Now I'm going to read Charlie's scripture again because it was good. I said, if you can't talk about your past, you're probably still connected to it, or it still influences you. And you see, when mine become open and in the open, I mean, for the world to see, there was nothing but healing there. There were that, you know, I can't say that I was sorry because I gave the young boy a better home, but still, I wasn't humiliated about it anymore. Okay, now, Diane, let's go to Ezekiel. I gotta get a drink. Oh, you hear me? I forget everything I say, you hear. Okay. You shall fall on the mountain of Israel, you and all your hordes, and the people who are with you. I will give you to birds of prey of every sort, and to the beasts of the field to be devoured. You getting this? You shall fall on the open field, for I have spoken, declares the Lord God. Well, when I read that, I thought, oh my God, Lord, what now? What now? But I don't want to fall in the open field. But I had to look at who God was talking to. Who was he saying this to? He was talking about his enemies, Gog. Amen. His enemies, our enemies, the pure worshipers. That's who God was talking to. He says, I'm going to devour them. I'm going to slay them. I'm going to go before you and behind you. Yeah. And he took his land too, guys. All of his people that were with him, God destroyed. So we don't have to worry about, can we do this and can we do that? God is if he's given you the promise, it's there. We can declare it. Amen? Right. Yeah, amen. All right. God also destroyed all of Gog's friends. Isn't that good? I mean, to me, you know, because, you know, I'm going to tell you, you know, fear and doubt kind of was trying to come to Jeff and I the other day. And it was like, once we prayed and stood on God's word, it just flew. But you know that, see, when if we had allowed fear to settle in, he'd have brought, well, I don't know, several of his friends with him, because they never travel in just one. You know, they've always got to have pack with them, right? Well, that's kind of what he was saying here with Gog. I'm going to take care of his friends too. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, there you go. Okay, now I'm good. All right, now we're going to go to Job 39:4-5. Y'all are going to really get this. You're going to remember this too. Their young ones become strong. They grow up in the open. They go out and do not return to them. Who has let the wild donkeys, how many wild donkeys do we have here, go free? Who has loosed the bonds of the swift donkey? I'm kind of one of them. Just saying. But our young ones, our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, our spiritual children, our spiritual great-grandchildren, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And all of our family, guys, God is saying, I got this handled. I got this handled. You know, sometimes I gotta be honest with you. I'm not always cheerful, you know. I don't always have a smile on my face, you know. When I start thinking about some of the things that I want my children to do or where they're at, you know, I gotta say, you know, I just have a few things that maybe I shouldn't be thinking, right? Yeah. But God said, I had this all taken care of.
Yes.
All of it. Now, I'm just telling you, I'm not done yet, and you just hang on there. Okay, if God has got our kids, you know, because we're set here on earth with a family, correct? And we have a whole bunch of other families. But, and God said, you know, they're right there. They're right there. I know their beginning. I know their end. We may not be able to see all this stuff in the middle, but do you think that he sees all this stuff in the middle from us? I think Jesus said he doesn't. Amen? You know, all right, God orchestrated. You know, we prayed this morning how orderly and how he puts things together. And when I had read in Exodus how he formed or had them make that ephod, it's like, God, you are so intricate, so precise in everything that you do. So, wow, right? All right. This is something you all just not gonna believe, but I'm just gonna tell you it anyway. Okay. On February the 15th is when my son called me and asked me about had I had another child. On February the 20th, Pastor Charlie preached the Balls and All sermon. On February the 27th, God gave me 3, 9, 4, 5, digging up deep, deep wells, gonna dance in the water. Is that just not an incredible God?
Yeah.
Now I want to give you something that's just going to blow, and I want to see some socks flying when I tell you this, okay? Now, I was sitting after Pastor Charlie had asked me to preach, and I was pretty certain this is what I was supposed to be talking about. That, oops, Rodney, where are you going? Okay. Oh, okay. Well, excuse me. Okay, now, I was sitting there at my kitchen table. We were all sitting around there. And Linda, my friend, was sitting there. Now, you guys got to get this picture, okay? All right. See us? All right. And I was saying, you know, she said, well, what are you going to preach on? I said, well, I think I'm supposed to do this 3, 9, 4, 5, digging up deep, deep well. Or, yeah, digging up deep, deep well. It's going to dance in the water. And as I said that, I had my phone in my hand. See my phone? Guess what my code to get in my phone is?
Just gave it up.
3, 9, 4, 5. And I said, are you kidding me? I mean, literally, I said, are you kidding me? I knew that, but I didn't know that. I mean, I never put two and two together. And as I said that, God just, phew, you know how when he does that, you know, just love it. And I said, Jeff was at the kitchen sink, and I said, wow, God, wow, God, wow, God.
Yes.
Now hear this. God said, 50 years ago, the Social Security office randomly picked 3, 9, 4, 5 for my last four digits of my Social Security number. Are you serious? I mean, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? Now, the first three numbers are your area. The second has to do with their codes. But the last four are randomly picked. Randomly picked. Do you think God had anything to do with that? God. I mean, okay. Now, God knew a half a century ago, that that was going to be my number, right? It was going to speak. It was going to heal me of my of every. You can't do that. Shame and guilt and humiliation. He knew that then. This last Mother's Day, I got a text from Clint, and he wished me happy Mother's Day. I texted him back, and I said, you know, I've waited 50 years to hear that. And he said, I've waited 50 years to say that. Now, I'm not done yet. Just about. We're just about ready there. When I was 39, got my numbers here? We had been foster parents for several years, but when I was 30, my family are just criers. I'm not looking at them. When I was 30, I'm talking to this side because I can't talk to that side. When I was 39, thank you, Bill. I was 39. We got a 19-month-old little boy. And a couple of years after that, we ended up adopting him. And you see, what God showed me was that he was giving me a double blessing. Yeah. Amen? Amen? Okay. 50 years ago, over 50 years, now she's doing it. 50 years ago, God had given me my Social Security number. Over 50 years ago. 50 years ago, I gave birth to Clint. It took 50 years for it to be exposed. 50 means jubilee, yeah. Celebration, yeah. Shh. Restoration, yeah. Emancipation of the slaves, yeah. Amen? Amen? He set me entirely free. Yeah. I cry because I got ball babies in my family, but 50 years ago, 3945, yeah. And then I said, yes, Jesus, you are digging up deep, deep wells. Yeah. Yes, Jesus, you're digging up deep, deep wells. And we're going to dance in it. We're going to celebrate. 50, right? Yeah. Amen. And what I'm, this, the last part of my message was that if you have deep, deep wells, if you have something that needs to be brought to the light. If you have something that maybe nobody else knows it but you and God, and you really want to get rid of it, my suggestion is if you really want to get rid of it, don't unless you want it exposed. Because unless you can expose it, unless it comes to the light, it can't get healed. Nothing can gets healed in the darkness, right? So, Jeff said, what are you going to do for an altar call? My altar call is to you. You know what you have. I don't know what you have need of, but I do know that God knows what you have need of. Yeah. And if there is something that you want to get healed and free from, I mean, you know, let's face it, guys. I didn't know I was bound. You see, that was just the key. I didn't know I was bound until I was bound. Yeah. Sure, I carried the shame and the guilt and the humiliation at the time. But, you know, 50 years, you kind of put that in the past, right? But you see, God doesn't do that. Satan certainly wasn't going to do it, right? But you see, God was turning it all around. And he says, I want to restore you. I want to heal you of something that you may not even know that you need healed of. Amen. But he did it anyway. In closing, I want to quote my favorite pastor. In order to have a breakthrough anointing, you must first be broken. Father God always looks for ways to restore the broken. Always. So if you're broken this morning and you need restoration, you got the greatest healer on the earth. It may take 50 years, but believe me, he knew me then, he knows me now. He knew you then, and he knows you now. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, you are such an awesome God that you know our names. You call us, Lord God, by precious and jewels. And you take your time to come invade our lives, to restore what was cracked, to mend the broken pieces together, to cause us to walk out our destinies. And so, Father, you knew back then that there was something that needed to be restored, something that needed to be healed, not only in my life, but in their life too. And you did it. You added your 2 cents. You added. You had a different storyline for me, Lord. And I praise you, Jesus, for it. And I give you the glory, Lord, that only you can do. Be blessed, my friends, and sin no more.
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You can also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages, read the Bible, take notes, connect with us on social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into Identity Sunday Morning Message, where sonship is revealed. Have a blessed day.